I'd like to read a few passages of Scripture. The first is Exodus chapter 13, verses 20 through 22. 13, and then we'll turn to Numbers 9, verses 1 through 14. So first of all, Exodus 13. This is the first mention of the pillar of cloud and fire. Introduces the subject, Exodus 13, 20 through 22, and they took their journey from Succoth, and encamped in Etham in the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by a pillar of cloud, to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, to go by the day and the night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before. Now, Numbers chapter 9. Numbers chapter 9, verses 23, this is a fuller explanation of what we just read there in Exodus. Numbers 9, 15 through 23, and on the day that the tabernacle was reared up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, namely the tent of the testimony. And at even there was upon the tabernacle, as it were, the appearance of fire until the morning. So it was always. The cloud covered it by day, and the appearance of fire by night. And when the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, then after that the children of Israel journeyed. And in the place where the cloud abode, there the children of Israel pitched their At the commandment of the Lord, the children of Israel journeyed, and at the commandment of the Lord they pitched. As long as the cloud abode upon the tabernacle, they rested in their And when the cloud tarried long upon the tabernacle many days, then the children of Israel kept the charge of the Lord and journeyed not. And so it was, when the cloud was a few days upon the tabernacle, according to the commandment of the Lord they abode in their tents, and according to the commandment of the Lord they journeyed. And so it was, when the cloud abode from even unto the morning, and that the cloud was taken up in the morning, then they journeyed. Whether it was by day or by night that the cloud was taken up, or whether it were 2 days, or a month, or a year, that the cloud tarried upon the tabernacle, remaining thereon, the children of Israel abode in their tents, journeyed not. But when it was taken up, they journeyed. At the commandment of the Lord, they rested in the And at the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. They kept the charge of the Lord, at the commandment of the Lord, by the hand. And now let's turn to Psalm 78. Psalm 78, we'll read together the first 14 verses. That last verse we read is the text for the sermon. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known and our fathers have told. We will not hide them from children, showing to the generation to come the praise of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath. For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children. That the generation to come might know them, which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God, and not forget the works of the Lord, but keep His... And might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of... They kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in His law. And forget His works and His wonders that He... Marvelous things did of their fathers. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through. And He made the waters to stand. In the daytime also He led them with a cloud. And all the night with... Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, one of the frustrating things in this life that we can experience sometimes is not knowing where we are, not knowing where we are going, and not having someone to guide us, we are to go. Convention this year, this summer, is in California, and I'm not sure you try to fly into LAX in Los Angeles. But there's an example of experiencing something like that. If you decide to go there and give a little bit of money, possibly, I don't know if it's that much cheaper to go to Palm Springs, but nevertheless, if you fly into LAX coming from Hudsonville, Michigan, it's going to be an eye-opening experience. You're on the plane, you get off, and all of a sudden, you find yourself right in the middle of one of the largest airports in the United States and one of the biggest cities in the entire world. And if you are by yourself, it really can be altogether scary. You're in the middle of this, what will seem like probably chaos. You don't know where you are, you don't know where to go, and you don't have someone necessarily right by your side to guide you. In our lives, at times, when we experience that, it's very, very difficult. Well, beloved, that is just as true with respect to our spiritual lives of faith. When we're going through our life spiritually, we need to know where we are. We need to know where we came from, and we need to know where we are going. And at times, spiritually, we can feel lost. We don't have direction. We don't have a purpose. And those times are very difficult. But we're not lost. We know where we came, and we know where we are going, and we have a guide. And that guide is the Lord Jesus. As His Spirit is in our hearts, and as His Spirit has given us His Word to guide us in our lives, and as parents to guide our children in their lives on their journey, that's the truth that we learn from this passage of God's Word. In the Old Testament, those saints, as they made their way from Egypt to Canaan, needed to know where to go. And they had a guide. Their guide was God. And He guided them in the way of that pillar of cloud during the day and the pillar of fire at night. They knew God was with them. And they knew God would bring them. The truth that we are going better this morning at the occasion of baptism from the gate. Let's look at that using as our pillar of cloud and fire. 2 points this morning. In the first place, the presence of God, and then in the second place, the leading or the guidance of God. The pillar of cloud and fire, the presence of God, and then or guidance of God. Being with us this morning at the occasion of baptism, we've Psalm 78. We've been doing that for a reason. Psalm 78 is a psalm that emphasizes the truth of God's covenant. Or rather, it really emphasizes an aspect of the truth of God's covenant. The truth of God's covenant is that God, triune in Jesus Christ, establishes His relationship with His people. The covenant is the fact that God says to His people, "You are My people, and you are My friends. And you belong to Me." Psalm 78 is a covenantal psalm in this respect. God does that normally in the line of continued generation. One of the striking aspects of the first 8 verses in Psalm 78 is the fact that 4 specific generations, but God says in Psalm 78 to us that the way in which I establish My covenant in those generations is by one generation teaching the next generation, and that generation teaching the next generation, and that generation teaching the next generation, and so forth, the things of God. Now, this doesn't negate the fact that God is pleased to bring others into. He does that through mission work. He does that through evangelism. But nevertheless, this is the main way God continues His covenant in the way of children being born to believing parents and the believing parents, truths of God to their children, so that they, as verse 7 says, might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God. But that's the introduction to Psalm 70, that idea that I just, in a couple of minutes, Asaph in the psalm, therefore, goes on to explain what it is that parents teach their children. One of the glorious ways that we are able to teach our children the praises of God is by teaching them the history of God's work with His people in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, those parents had a sacred obligation to make sure that their children knew about all of the things that God did for us. And that obligation rests upon us today as well. And so our responsibility, and these parents in particular who brought their daughter for baptism, this is to teach them this very history. And so what we've been doing for baptism, sir, going through some of this history. We learned about verse 9, Ephraim turning back in the day of battle. We had a sermon on verse 13, the dividing of the Red. And now we get to verse 14 tonight, or this morning, with the idea of that cloud and fire that God sent to lead. This is a fundamental aspect of Israel's life in the Old Testament. This pillar of cloud during the day and this pillar of fire at night. We read this morning Exodus 3, the introduction to this idea of the cloud and fire. But you really can't understand their wilderness wanderings and even beyond that, many things in the Old Testament without understanding what this pillar of cloud and this pillar of fire were all about. This is something that was very important to the life of the children of Israel on their way to Canaan. And let's establish just a few facts about this cloud and fire. In the first place, as I said a moment ago, the first reference to it is found in Exodus chapter 13. Those verses that we read at the end of that chapter, verses 20 through 22. The history right after they left Egypt. This was one of the very first things that God did for the children of Israel. He gave them this pillar of cloud and this pillar of fire with the very specific purpose of using it to guide them where they were to go. They never had to wonder where they were to go. They always had that cloud and fire. That begs the question of how long this cloud and fire stayed with the Israelites. It's evident when you read Exodus 13, as we did, that it was with them all of the time that they were in the wilderness. Verse 22 says, "He took not away the pillar of cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from people." He took not away the cloud and the fire. So it was with them undoubtedly all throughout their 40 years wandering in the wilderness. But there are references to this cloud beyond that. The cloud was still with them in the land of Israel. Now there's a debate as to whether or not it was always with them. While they were in the wilderness, it was always there. But we're not quite sure of whether or not it was always there when they were in the land of Canaan. It pops up periodically. For example, if you read of Solomon's dedication of the temple that he built to God, the cloud appeared and the glory of God was evidenced in the temple. But this was something that all of the children of Israel knew about during the wilderness wanderings and even after that. So important was this cloud and fire. In the second place, make the point that we're really dealing with one thing here. One entity, two manifestations. Cloud during the day and fire at night. The main one is the cloud. If you read the history of the Old Testament, it's this cloud that comes up over and over and over again. But when we are dealing with the night as well, they're always put together. Cloud during the day, fire at night. And there's reason to believe that it's not necessarily different things, but one thing, two different manifestations, cloud during the day, at night, serving one main purpose. They're very linked together. In the third place, you can ask the question of what did it look like when the children of Israel saw this cloud and fire? What did they see? Well, there's no reason to say that it was something different than the words itself, cloud and fire. Exactly as we would think of cloud and fire. But we do get a hint as to what they saw when in Exodus 13 and in other places, what's attached to it is a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire. That does give us an insight into what they saw. Pillar is a column, a long column. The most normal use of this is to hold up the structure of a building. What they saw most likely was a cloud shaped like a pillar, which means that it was probably very impressive, probably very, very tall and round. But the point is, especially that it was tall, it could from a long, say precisely, obviously we weren't there, of what they saw. But we do have an idea from the word. So those are some facts about this cloud and fire. But we have to ask the main question of this cloud and fire for the Israelites in the Old Testament. What purpose did they serve? Psalm 78, verse 14, the text for the sermon, indicates a main purpose. The cloud during the day and the fire at night serve the purpose of leading of Israel. But you'll notice that that's the second point of the sermon, the guidance of God. The first point of the sermon this morning is the presence of God. And that right there indicates what is the even more fundamental purpose of the cloud and fire for those Israelites. It's something that stands behind what we have in Psalm 78:14, that it led them. Before it could lead them, this had to be true, namely, that it pictured the very presence. When you ask the question, what is the main purpose of the cloud and fire, it was people could look at it and have a visible symbol of the representation. It pictured that God was. Now there are reasons that we can point out in this connection. In the first place, it's very significant that the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire always rested upon what? Now it's true in Exodus chapter 13, prior to the erecting of the tabernacle in the wilderness, that the cloud and the fire appeared. That's true. But nevertheless, at the time when the tabernacle was made, and thereafter, this cloud and this pillar were always associated directly with the tabernacle. That was the whole point of Numbers chapter 13. It rested upon the tabernacle. And when it lifted up and went somewhere else, the people followed, and then it went right back down upon the tabernacle. What was the point of the tabernacle? The tabernacle was all about the presence of God and fellowship with God. You think about the most holy place in the tabernacle and what was in the most holy place, namely the Ark of the Covenant. And the Ark of the Covenant was a picture of God Himself, and that this is where God dwelled. The pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire, to put it negatively, were not in the middle of nowhere. They didn't have their camp, and then off into the distance they'd see this cloud and this fire. Pillar of cloud and fire were right on top of the tabernacle. Not everyone in the camp could see the tabernacle. It was a structure, relatively small, relatively low. It wasn't a skyscraper where everyone could see. There's the tabernacle and where God dwells. The camp was huge. And unless you had a place right along the inner court, you couldn't see that tabernacle. But if you were in the land of Israel, or rather in the camp of Israel in the wilderness, and you were on the outer edge, you knew where the tabernacle was because of this pillar of cloud and fire that was resting upon it. And they would put that, there's the pillar of cloud and fire, which means there's the tabernacle. And where the tabernacle is, God is. And where God is, we have fellowship with the living God of heaven. And not only that, but it also indicated about the way in which that fellowship with God was possible. Yes, the tabernacle pictured the presence of God, and in particular the Ark of God. But what was always associated with the tabernacle was the altar. And the only way to that tabernacle and to that Ark of the Covenant was from the blood of the altar sprinkled on that mercy of the Ark of the Covenant. The pillar of cloud and fire pictured the presence of God and fellowship with God. Fellowship with God only in the way of the blood of the Lord. In the second place, substantiate this point that the pillar of cloud and fire represented the very presence of God, we can say that the cloud and fire were always associated as well with the glory of God. All of the references in the Scriptures to the cloud and fire, it is striking how many of them put those two things together, the cloud and the glory of God. Here are just a few of those references. Numbers chapter 14, verse 10. Numbers 14, verse 10, this is the very end of the history of the 12 spies sent out, and then they returned. 10 gave the bad report, Joshua and Caleb gave the good report. The people were angry at Joshua and Caleb, so much so that they wanted to take up stones and kill them. We read this in verse 10 of Numbers 14 at the very end of this history. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children. He asked the question, what was the evidence of the glory of the Lord appearing in the tabernacle? That came to the tabernacle that they saw of the Lord. We know that because of example what we read in Exodus 40. Exodus 40 verses 35, 34 and 35. Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation because the cloud abode thereon, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. So once again, bringing together those two ideas. One more, and this is a very helpful passage because it explains what the glory of God is. Exodus 34, verses 5 and 6. After Moses said to God, "Show me thy glory." He says that in verse of chapter 33. And Moses said, "I beseech thee, show me thy glory." And then in Exodus 34, God answers that. And he says, and we read in verses 5 and 6, "And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and long-suffering and abundant in good truth." He appeared to him in the cloud and revealed to him the glory of God. And this passage reveals to us what the glory of God is. The glory of God is the revelation of His beauty, His brightness, His amazing nature and all of His attributes. It's the fact that He's merciful and gracious and just and long-suffering and infinite and glorious and all of the rest. It's the sum total, the beautiful nature of who the cloud, in an Old Testament figurative way, was a symbol not only of the presence of God, but who God was in all of His beauty. The most basic purpose of the cloud and fire, people, that God was with them, who God was. And that's why, beloved, that the cloud and fire have as their fulfillment, ultimately, you have to ask the question as well this morning, what does this mean for us? How does the cloud and the fire apply to us as members of the church today? And the fulfillment of the cloud and the fire in the Old Testament is the fact that Jesus Christ was sent to you, to me. With respect to both of those points that we made a moment ago, it pictured the presence of God and fellowship with God and the way to God. That's Christ, beloved. Christ dwelled among His people. He did that in a very real way when He came to this earth, when He walked the face of this earth with His people. But towards the end of His life, He said to His disciples, "I have to go to heaven. And I have to go to heaven because in my way of going to heaven, then I can be with all of my people from now until the end of history." And He was with all of His people then, now, and forever will be. He sends into your hearts. And Jesus Christ is the fulfillment as well, because it's only through the sacrifice of Christ that we have that Spirit. We don't have a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire that shows us God is present with us. But just as much, beloved, is God present. God is present with us. That is in our hearts, the Spirit. And God is present with us in the Word of God, which that Spirit, Jesus Christ, is the fulfillment of this cloud and fire as well. With respect to that second point that we made, namely that the cloud was the glory of God for the people in the Old Testament. That's Jesus Christ. That's what we read, for example, in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. Read the first three verses. "God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also the worlds, who, being the brightness of His glory and the express image," the brightness of the glory of God, beloved. He, very, very, who God is in all of His attributes. And even more specific, see the glory of God in Christ on the cross. on the cross, all of the attributes of God that revealed to us the beauty of God are on display for us to see. In Christ, we see the love and the mercy and the grace and the joy and the long-suffering, the fulfillment for us today, this cloud and fire. Because that is true, that the cloud and the fire were the presence of God. Leads us into the second point of the sermon this morning and what Psalm 78 verses us, namely, that cloud and that fire were the means God used. In Psalm 78, we have a fuller explanation of that in Numbers chapter 13, that passage that we read, very clearly explaining how that worked. The pillar of cloud was on the tabernacle as long as it was there. When it was lifted up and moved somewhere else, they followed it, and when it stopped, that's where they stayed. And if it was a couple of days, they stayed for a couple of days. If it was a year even, they stayed. But the only way that worked was because people knew that was God. And when you read Numbers 13, what's striking is how they associated the moving of the cloud and fire, the commandment of God. That phrase is used over and over again in Numbers 13. The cloud went up, and at the commandment of the Lord, they followed, because they knew that was the presence of God guiding them. He was guiding them from somewhere to somewhere. The cloud and fire appeared right after they left Egypt. It was that cloud and fire that was bringing them to the promised land. And beloved, that's the station for us this morning, that God guides us. God leads us in our spiritual lives. I made that point in the introduction that we don't need to wonder about where we are, where we've been, and where we are going with respect to our spiritual lives. God is with us, and God is directing us, and God is leading us to the promised land as well. He's doing that because He's with us, Jesus Christ, in our spirit, in our hearts. That Spirit that allows us to read the Word of God, which is the Spirit of Christ, inspired that, things put together that guides us in our lives here. If you feel lost, if you don't have a purpose in your life, figure things out, if you don't know what you're doing with yourself, where are you looking for guidance? Where are you looking for? The only place to look, beloved, which is the exact same thing as those people in the Old Testament looking at that cloud and pillar, because it's this Word of God. It gives us everything that we need for guidance in our life, for the wisdom and the grace. That's something that's overlooked sometimes in the Old Testament. There's a lot of negative, obviously, when you read the wilderness wanderings. They sin. They sin greatly, often. They were judged for that sin. 40 years, couldn't go directly into the land. But nevertheless, when we read Numbers 3, we're reading about was a people that the pillar of cloud went up and they followed. And that's what we need, the grace and the Spirit. And when others may read that word to us to help us in our spiritual lives, in our journey of faith, and follow. Again, if you feel lost spiritually, the presence of God. We can build off of that from what we know about this cloud of and fire in the Old Testament. Sometimes God leads us in our lives in such a way that we need to fight the enemy. We know that that was true, for example, for the Israelites when they were led out of Egypt. They were led out of Egypt, and we read that immediately the cloud and the fire appeared, and they were led down into the very difficult position of having the Red Sea on one side, the enemy coming from the north, mountains on the left, and mountains down to the south. That was the sermon last time from Psalm 28, the passage through the Red Sea. But it was the cloud and fire that led them there to that difficult. Sometimes God leads us in such a way that we need to battle those enemies. We need to battle that creep up in our lives over and over. We learn about what the cloud and fire did for the Israelites in those. Exodus tells us what the cloud did as they were being attacked by the enemies. 19 and 20 of chapter 14. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. The camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud and darkness to them, but but it gave light by night to thee, so that the one came not near the other. Oh, what did the cloud do for them? It protected them from the enemies that sought to destroy them. And God still does, being attacked by the enemy. In the presence of God, in the Spirit of God, and His Word protects us from these. You doubt yourself. You're struggling in your spiritual lives, wondering whether or not I can truly be forgiven for all of the sins that I've committed in the past week. God gives us His Word that protects us from those enemies. It's the Word of grace. It's the Word of reconciliation. It's the Word of forgiveness. It's the Word that comes on the Sabbath day and says, you are forgiven, put your trust in Jesus, and all of your sins are blotted away and white as. But it's the presence of God in His Word and defends us, just like that cloud did that. And one more thing, not only just difficult times of being attacked by the enemies in our spiritual lives, but more generally, there are times in our lives where things are just very, very hard, when things are intense. It was the case for the Israelites in their wilderness wanderings. And one of the things that made it very difficult for them on their way to Canaan, they were in the desert, intensely hot. And we know how that can be absolutely difficult. You go outside for a full day when it's oppressively hot, it's discouraging, strength sapping. Well, that was the case for much of their time through the wilderness. But what do we read God did for them? We read that He used the cloud to give them comfort. Numbers. And they will tell it to their inhabitants of this land, for they have heard that the Lord art among His people, that the Lord art seen face to face, and that the cloud standeth over them, and that Thou goest before them in the daytime in a pillar of a cloud and a pillar by night. It says there that stands over. Numbers 10, verse 34, and the cloud of the Lord was upon them by day, and when they went out of the camp, it was upon them. And then Psalm, this is especially the one, Psalm 105. He spread a cloud for a fire, a covering, and fire to give them light, and spread a cloud for a covering. I believe that's a reference to the fact that the clouds serve that purpose as well in their will. And beloved, there are times when it's really hard. You feel that. We all go through it at one time or another. Bulletin with the brother in the hospital again and receiving care. Think of the times when you lose a loved one, close loved one, a son, and the recurring thoughts of that, and the difficulty. The times when there's strife in the family, or relationships in the church are tight. Those times in our lives when if we're bearing down upon you. First of all, because we know that He's always present, as we've talked about. Never through those times does the Spirit of Christ, which is His presence in us, leave us. We read in the New Testament, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Thing, the guidance of His Word, so that we can read as your light affliction. And though the times are intensely hot, as it were, God comes to us, and He comes to us with that Word, which is a covering to us. And the Spirit in us grasps hold of it. And yes, it doesn't remove the burden, but yes, in all of our life, spiritual life journey, God guides us. But in the way of going through the enemies, He puts difficult times. We don't have a physical cloud anymore, physical fire. But nevertheless, beloved, God is with us. And the responsibility of parents, as we see in this baptism, the instruments God uses to guide and direct. And I'll end with what I said earlier. And when He directs us by His, that they were brought to by that cloud, follow the cloud. Our Father, which art in heaven, we thank for this Word. Pray for Thy blessing upon it. Thou art good to us in being with us, so that we can know that Thou art present always, and present in Thy Word and by Thy Spirit, and that we might follow Thee as Thou dost direct us in all. Forgive, Father, what was said or heard in sin.